lots exclusively and then a third lot partially. One existing dwelling on site, and then all five lots will be deed restricted from further subdividing, so this really is a one-way street. Once the plat is recorded, there's a note on the plat saying it can't be further subdivided, but then there's also deed restrictions recorded to each of the lots in the subdivision. And the deed restriction language is quite tight, meaning that the city would have to sign off on removing the deed restriction, plus all the lot owners within the plat, plus all contiguous property owners, so that's a pretty high bar to be able to get everybody to agree to allow property to be further subdivided, so it really is a one-way street with this. No sensitive lands have been identified with the proposal, and Second North will be removed from the master street plan once the deed restrictions have been recorded for all five lots. So this is an item that we looked at a number of months ago regarding Second North and connecting First East and Second East to that future road. The removal of the road was conditionally approved by the city council as long as this property went through the approval process for a density reduction subdivision, then the lots were deed restricted. So the property is located just north of Main Street, just to the east of Center Street. You can see it outlined in yellow, again 5.2 acres. There's a closer neighborhood view. You can see First East stubbing into the property. There's one home in the center of the property right now, 250 North. It's located just above the proposed area. And here's a closer view of Second East stubbing into the property with one home on site. So the road that will be removed off the master plan if, you know, once the deed restrictions are recorded is Second North. Basically crosses this area of the property, and then also First East would connect through. In this case, there's a home in the way, so the road would have to kind of meander around that. There's properties mostly in agricultural production. Again, there's one home. There's some trees on site, some little outbuildings also. This is an existing conditions map. Shows the existing home, and there's some outbuildings. Again, this one will be removed. And these two over here will be removed as part of this proposal. One thing to take notice of is the Yangfers have a property just north. Their sewer lateral is connected and crosses the property down to First East. So that line will either have to have an easement where it's currently located or will be rerouted through public utility easements on site. This is a copy of the proposed plan. And this shows the cul-de-sac that will be constructed. And this is helpful because we will turn our plows around and, you know, any other deliveries having a bulb on the end of the stub road. This code requires at least one of the lots to meet the full frontage requirements. And we have three of the lots that do meet the frontage and requirements. You can see the existing home here. And then the code allows a shared driveway to access some of the other lots within the subdivision. So this area would be publicly maintained and owned, dedicated to the city, but this private driveway would be maintained by the property owners that use it. So that's part of this approval also, is having a shared driveway agreement for maintenance. So the bulb is asphalt. As for the shared driveway, the code allows it to be either road base or asphalt. In every situation where you've had these codes, rural preservation or density reduction, they have paved the driveways. And if we do have any type of erosion type issue, our city engineer can require that to be paved. Here's a copy of the proposed plat. And so this shows the existing home. There are a couple of retention ponds that will run off from the cul-de-sac. And so those cover two of the lots in the subdivision. So there'll be restrictions on what can happen in those areas. You can see the shared driveway that accesses two lots on the north end of the subdivision. And this shows some of the infrastructure if we want to discuss any of that, including that sewer lateral that runs up to the others. So some discussion items. So density, and that's really the reason why we developed the density reduction subdivision, was to reduce, you know, potential density around town. So this property is in the R115 zone. It does only have Second North. So potentially there could be 11 plus lots on the property. It's hard to say exactly. Density reduction allows one lot per acre in the R115 zone. So we're basically looking at a 5-acre property divided into 1-acre lots with this proposal. Access would be through the public cul-de-sac that would be constructed on site, plus a private shared driveway that would access a couple of lots. Fire flow is important. The main water line will be extended, and the fire hydrant needs to be within 500 feet of all of the future residences, so there'll be a water line extended through the property with a fire hydrant installed up in this area here. As I mentioned, there'll be deed restrictions for all 5 lots, so before the plat's recorded, we'll want to review those deed restrictions, make sure the language is correct. And as soon as the plat is recorded, those 5 deed restrictions are recorded once the lots are created. So basically, that happens simultaneously. Midway master plan, we just adopted our master plan. It does support trying to create having a country and rural feel as much as possible and more openness. So this code does really try to match the vision as described in the general plan. The Water Advisory Board has yet to review this item. It's planned to be on their agenda in the 1st of June. Can't remember the exact date, but it's the first Monday in June. And so it will need to be reviewed by the Water Advisory Board and have a recommendation made before it goes to the City Council for approval. Some possible findings for the Planning Commission to consider. The proposed lots meet the minimum requirements of the R-1-15 zone. Proposal does meet the intent of the general plan for the R-1-15 zone. Proposal does comply with the requirements for the density reduction subdivision code. So we've looked at acreage, frontage, width per lot, plus setbacks for the existing structure. The home is just over 30 feet from the front property line where the cul-de-sac would be dedicated, so it meets the code requirements of the R-115 zone. One thing, talking about setbacks real quick, I know there was a question sent to me today about that. So the setbacks in this property are the same as for any other home in the home or accessory building in the R-1-15 zone. And so what we have are front setbacks of 30 feet. We also have rear setbacks of 30 feet. Side setbacks, if I remember correctly, they're down to 10 feet in this zone. Those are for dwellings. Accessory buildings have different setbacks, and the setback is really based off the height of the structure. But those are the setbacks for the zone. If anybody has any questions, I can go over those in more detail. So the fourth one, the subdivision helps comply with the vision stated in the general plan to preserve open space in a country rural atmosphere instead of a more urban atmosphere that's possible in this this zone. The lots will be deed restricted, so they can never be further subdivided. And then the duration of preliminary and final approval is for 1 year. There is a possibility of asking for up to 3 1-year extensions. But those would need to be petitioned for before expiration of the approval. Some proposed conditions: deed restrictions will need to be that will be recorded towards the lots must be submitted to the city for review and recorded immediately after the plat is recorded. And then a notice is included on the plat with language that clearly states that subdividing the lots is prohibited. Are there questions for staff regarding this proposal?
So you mentioned that, was it 100 East may at some point go through this property?
So the general plan showed 100 East connecting to First or Second North.
Right.
So that is on the master plan until the deed restrictions are approved, and then that comes off of the map.
Okay, so we would remove that as well.
Yeah, so that would be a component of approval.
Okay.
Could you go over the setbacks one more time using this map, since that was one of the things that came up in the letter that was sent to us?
Yeah, so regarding dwelling setbacks, there's a front setback of 30 feet.
Okay.
There's a rear setback of 30 feet. And then the side setbacks, correct me if I'm wrong, Melanie, 10 feet on each side in the 115 zone. And itself, that's what we're looking at for these different properties. So it's tough on like this end one. Is the front facing west or is it facing south? And usually we take a, when we receive the building permit, we see where the front door is and we say, okay, well, that's the front, the way that it's facing. So it's not a, an exact science. When you have a weird angled lot or a multi-angled lot, side lot, or one that's on, you know, in this situation. So, but it's 30 front, 30 rear, 10 on each side for dwellings. And for accessory buildings, it's different. It's a 40-foot front setback. And then the setback for the sides and rear is based off the height of the building. And so there's a minimum of a 10-foot setback with an 18-foot height limit. For each foot above that 18, you have to be a foot further back from the property line, but you can have a sloped roof. And so they could be at the minimum 10 as long as the slope is 1-for-1 away as the building rises up to the pitch. So that's something that was recently adopted by the council to avoid a 35-foot tall accessory building right next to the property line and blocking the neighbor's views. So any other questions on setbacks?
Are there any other questions at all for Michael? Okay. Do we want to hear from the applicant? Got a quiet group here tonight. Paul, do you want to, or?
My name is TJ Stevens. I'm an attorney at Hoagland & Hutchinson.
Okay.
And if, I would like to propose some questions on behalf of Doug and Robin Infer. They're out of the country, and they asked me to attend and see if I can get some questions answered. I believe these are the same questions that were already sent to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
That's correct. We sent those to the Planning Commission, and so they have had a chance to read those.
Okay. Can you hold on just one moment? And Paul, you're representing the applicant tonight? You want to? Do you have anything to add?
Chairman, just give me a few minutes to make a brief presentation.
Okay.
And then after the attorney or any other neighbors, I know it's not a public hearing, but
right.
My guess is you're probably going to allow comments.
Yep.
And then if I can help answer any of those after.
Sure.
So last week when the city council approved the new general plan, I've been requesting that amendment be made that allows for planned performance development, which would overall reduce density but then allow developers to kind of earn their way back if they provide certain community benefits. Like many of my ideas have shot down. But as I was kidding the city council about this, I said, you guys hate density and this is a way to reduce density, and they're like, anyway, they didn't make much comment. Then the very first item after that, they were worried about density in the small minor plat amendment, that if switching a property would then, you know, allow it so it had, you know, more units. My guess is tonight we'll hear more comments about that we don't want density, we don't want new homes, even though we've selected the option, just the reduced density subdivision with only 5 lots instead of taking the 11 or 12, which is a permitted use. We could meet all the conditions just like we've done tonight, but it would be curb, gutter, sidewalk, and this is the rural option that's available. Mm-hmm. I also made this statement during the general plan process that in some respects land development is almost like going to a restaurant. You can kind of only order what's on the menu. To Midway City's credit, they've had other options that are now on the menu besides just the PUD and the subdivision, like the rural preservation subdivision, the density reduction subdivision. But again, that's all that's available. Peter Malinka has taken the least density option. And so there are other options that we could take that wouldn't be a conditional use permit. And so I hope that the neighbors would consider that he's taking this option, which is the least amount of density, the most rural option that we have. In terms of the utilities that were mentioned, Mike, would you go to the utility plan?